John chapter 3 and verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? For no man can ascend up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Heavenly Father, thank you for pinning down for us, Lord, for recording for us this wonderful conversation between Jesus Christ and a religious leader, a man that was leading a nation or helping to lead a nation spiritually, and yet without a reborn spirit. So I pray, Lord, as we look at the scriptures today, it would help us and, Lord, challenge us. For those who have been saved, may it be a time where we can look back and I think maybe rediscover all that God did when he saved our souls. And maybe for some here, Lord, who's never been saved, this would be the message that you would use to bring conviction upon their heart. Lord, please, Holy Spirit, Father, please draw them unto yourself. Lord, you said, if I be lifted up, well, we're going to lift up Jesus. So I pray, Lord, you draw all men unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Young people, just sit up real straight and tall. Listen very carefully. I won't have you in here very long. So while you are in here, if you'd sit up straight and tall, really look up, really listen, stay in your seats. Don't head out to the restroom back and forth unless it's an emergency, because what we're going to cover this morning is very important. I'm going to preach on this subject. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? Now, let me just make three statements right out of the chute here. Number one, the person who coined the phrase born again was not Jimmy Carter. Was not Jimmy Carter. By the way, we're going into a political time. Politicians are stumping for votes, running ads. And it's amazing how just about every 4 years the politicians decide that they're born again so that they can appeal to the Christian vote. No, the person who coined the phrase was not a politician. It wasn't Jimmy Carter. It was none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So if Jesus coins this phrase, it's worth noting. It's worth investigating. It's worth defining. Because you know what? Anything and everything that Jesus said, we as Christians and those who want to see heaven one day ought to pay great attention. So number one, the person who coined the phrase born again was none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Number two, Jesus taught in this story, Jesus taught that every person must be born again in order to go to heaven. That's what the Bible says here when Jesus addressed Nicodemus. He said in verse number 3, except a man be, here's where we find the phrase for the first time, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in that verse, it says that you'll not see it. In verse number 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So number one, the person who coined this phrase, born again, was Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus taught that every person must be born again to go to heaven. Well, preacher, I've never been born again and I'll go to heaven, not according to Jesus Christ. Sorry, sir, sorry, ma'am, but if I have to take your word or Christ's word, I'm going to believe Jesus Christ. I'm going to plead with you today to believe Jesus Christ and what he says, because he makes it very plain that whatever this phrase means, whatever this born again is, if you have any hopes of either seeing or entering in to heaven one day, then you must be born again. Number three, Jesus taught that even religious people have to be born again in order to go to heaven. Now, what's very interesting about this story is that this man, Nicodemus, was a Pharisee. Jesus asked him this question in verse 10, art thou a master? That word master means a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things. So here was a man that was in charge of educating a nation. He was one of those that worked at educating, and that means on Sunday he was up behind the pulpit. That means in the synagogue he was one of them that took up the Bible and taught the Bible. And yet he was religious. He had a title. He even had a job in the local assembly. But he was not going to heaven at this time in his life because he had never been born again. Now a lot of people, they hear a sermon on being born again and they think, well, that's for unchurched people. No, that's for churched people. Well, that's for people who wasn't raised in church or wasn't born into a Christian family. You may have been born into a Christian family, but you were not born a Christian. Let me say that again. You may have been born into a Christian family, but you were not born a Christian. I witnessed to a guy who went to a Christian Reformed church years ago, and I began to talk to him about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he agreed with me that Jesus was the Son of God. He agreed with me that Jesus came to die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. He agreed that Jesus rose from the dead. He agreed on all of that, and I began to plead with him and ask him, have you ever been saved? He said, well, you got to understand. He said, I was born into the Christian Reformed Church. I said, okay. The Bible says you must be born again. No, you don't get it. He said, my parents were Christian Reformed. I said, well, okay. I said, but the Bible says you must be born again. He said, no, that's if I ever got lost. But I've never got lost, so I don't need to be saved. Let me say this, folks. You are born lost. I don't care if the very first day that you were born, your parents walked you into a church. I don't care if you attended church 9 months before you were born, mama carrying you in her womb and bringing you to church. I don't care what the circumstance, I don't care what your religious pedigree is, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so that's the three statements we'll begin with. Well, preacher, if Jesus Christ talked about being born again, and he taught that every person must be born again to go to heaven, and he taught that even religious people had to be born again to go to heaven, then it would be good for us to answer the question posed, and that is this: what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? Now mark your place in John chapter number 3. I want to take you all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 1. And we're going to do a little background, because I do not want to give this just a quick answer or an incomplete answer. We want to very thoroughly look at this subject. This is important. This is not life or death, folks. This is bigger than life and death, because this determines whether or not and where a person will spend all eternity after he dies. And so we want to go all the way back to the beginning. Preacher, what does it mean to be born again? Well, let's see if we can learn some things this morning. Number one, let me just say this. Point number one, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that may seem awful elementary, but the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me just help you young people that are, God bless your hearts, forced to go into a public school, forced to go into public school science classes where you are taught things like evolution. You're taught that you came down from a monkey. You taught that one of your great ancestors millions and millions of years ago was some slimy amoeba that crawled out of the slime onto the bank and then finally developed a pimple and began to itch it and a leg popped out. And millions of years later, here you are walking around. And let me just say this, that is a lie of the devil. Oh, but preacher, we got science on our side. You don't have science on your side. You do not have science. Scientists say that evolution is impossible. Albert Einstein says that it is evolution is a mathematical impossibility. And so, folks, you don't have science on your side. You have a bunch of godly people that don't want to believe the Bible. And if you're not going to believe the Bible, you got to come up with some alternative explanation. But listen, thank God, by faith, we can look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we can read these words, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And we can choose by faith to believe what God said. And I do believe that God is the creator of all things. I believe God created all that we see today in 6 days. The Bible chronicles that for us in Genesis chapter number 1. Now, on the sixth day, so number one, we said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Number two, let me say this, God created man and woman. God created man and woman on the sixth day, and he created them in his own image. Now, let's go in chapter 1 of Genesis now to verse number 26, and let's read what the Bible says. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God not only created the heavens and the earth, but on the sixth day God created man and woman. And this is very important, because if you're going to understand what the term born again means, you have to understand how we were created and what makes us up. God created man and woman in his own image. Now notice it says in this verse, and God said, let us make man in our image. Now, folks, we serve a triune God. Our God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is one, but he chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities. So he is three even though he's one, and he's one even though he's three. So, amen, preacher, that don't make any sense. I can't understand that. Aren't you glad you have a God so big that you can't understand him? He's bigger and wiser and smarter and greater than any human mind can comprehend. So I don't try to understand God. I read what the Bible says about God, and I believe by faith what the Bible says. And by the way, I keep bringing up that believe by faith, because you're not going to get saved through human logic. You're not going to get saved if you decide that you're going to weigh everything on human intellect. You're going to get saved when you humble yourself as a little child, read the Bible, put your hand on it, say, I believe it because God says it, and that's the faith that you're going to need to exercise in order to be saved. If you can't exercise that faith in creation, you're going to have a hard time exercising that faith in salvation. And so here we are, looking at what the Bible says and choosing to believe it. Now, God created man and woman. He created them in his own image. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this. Nathan, can I borrow you a second? And Chad, can I borrow you a second? And let's see here. David, let me borrow you a second, okay? And I want to show you exactly what God did on that day. Now, just like God is one, but three parts or three distinct personalities. He created man as a single human man, but a man is made up of three very distinct parts. And so I'm going to let Nathan be the body, and here you go. You can be the soul, and you come over here on the other side of David. Let me get you guys all crunched together here, because I don't want you to have split personalities. And there you go. Now you say, well, there's three people up here. No, there's one person. Got that? There's one person. This all together is Nathan Walton. I'm sorry about that, guys. I mean, I just demoted you two drastically in life. But this is one person, one human being. This is Nathan Walton. And when God created us originally in the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam, he was a body, a soul, and a spirit. Let us make God in our image after our likeness. And so just as God is one but three parts, he made man one but three parts. Now, hang on to that thought for just a second. We said, number one, that God created the heavens and the earth. Number two, that God created man and woman in his own image. Number three, then God, in Genesis chapter 2, if you'll flip over verse number 15, God warned man that if he chose to sin, he would surely die. Notice the wording here in Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. Now notice the wording here. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, you know the story. The serpent came in Genesis chapter number 3, and he tempted Adam, and he tempted Eve. And you know what? Eve first took of the fruit, then Adam also took of the fruit. They disobeyed God, and sin came in the world. But wait a minute, God said, in the very day that you do that, you are going to die. Well, if we read the story over in Genesis chapter 3, Adam's body didn't kill over and die. When they took a bite of that fruit, Adam and Eve, body did not die that day. Their soul did not die, because the soul of man cannot die. And part of being made in the image of God is that we are made an eternal being. Our soul will live somewhere forever. So if the body didn't die and the soul didn't die when they disobeyed God, what died? I want you to turn your paper over, okay? The spirit of man died. The spirit of man died. Now let me give you this thought, folks. This is just not a picture of Adam. This is a picture of every man and woman and child that's ever been born since Adam and Eve. Because next, let me give you this. Sin passed down from Adam to every person born since then. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now wait a minute, are you starting to get this? This body is still alive. By the way, every person walking around, your body's alive. Your soul's alive. The soul is the mind, the emotion, the intellect, the emotion, the will of a man. Those things are alive. But the spirit of man is dead. When the baby comes out of the womb, it does not have a life spirit that if it one day sins, then that spirit dies. We are born into sin. This is the condition upon arrival. This is where we're at in the eyes of Jesus Christ, God Almighty. We have a body that's alive, a soul that is alive, but our spirit is dead. Now all of a sudden Jesus shows up in John chapter number 3, sits down with a religious man and says, except ye be born again. Not this needs to be born again. He said, what are you talking about? Do I enter again my body into my mother's womb and be born again? No, he was thinking about the body. The body doesn't need to be born again. The soul doesn't need to be born again. That's the part that needs to be born again. Now, folks, listen to me. From the time you're born, all through your life, you've got to admit that this is true. You know what? There's something wrong. There's something not right. You have this feeling of incompleteness. You do not feel like you are in right standing with God, no matter what you try to do. And so a lot of times what happens is, just as Nicodemus began to pursue religious options, let's suppose Nathan's born. He has a body that's born. He grows up. His soul, of course, is alive and well, but he is spiritually dead.
What he needs to do in order to go to heaven is he needs to have that spirit born again. But you know what? A lot of men and women try a lot of different things to try to fill that black hole, that dark hole, that empty hole in their heart. They know that they're not right with God. They know they're not in good standing with God. And so they try to do different things. And so Nathan here, in order to try to do that, is going to read his Bible. Maybe if I just read the Bible, that will be what I need to do. So he spends days and days and days reading the Bible. But you notice that spirit hasn't changed a bit. It's still dead. He says to himself, well, maybe if I walk the aisle and I'll start attending church. And by the way, why not? I'll just go ahead and join the church. So he goes to some church that doesn't preach the gospel. He doesn't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He thinks, well, you know what? I'll just go forward. Some charlatan's in the pulpit. He doesn't preach against sin. He doesn't preach on Holy Spirit conviction. He doesn't preach on a man's need of Christ. He just says, wow, here's somebody who wants to join my church. Hey, welcome, brother. By the way, I hope you got a good job and you put a lot of money in the plate. And he's just glad to have him. And you know what? He joins a church and his body's alive and his soul's alive. But putting your church, your name on a church membership, putting your name on a church membership roll does not make you born again. He said, well, you know what? Maybe I just need to get baptized. And so he goes forward and he gets sprinkled and nothing's changed. Maybe a little bit more of this water will help a little bit. And wow, man, your hair is amazing. Get it to do all of that anyway. Hey, if I'm going to get egg later, you can get watered right now, amen. So so he gets baptized, and you know what? He feels kind of good about it, but wait a minute, a few days later, there's still this emptiness. And here Nicodemus rose in the ranks of his religion. I've stood in the office of a Catholic priest and said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter. Just because you're a preacher or a priest or a rabbi, you must be born again. If you've never been born again, you're not going to go to heaven. I don't care how many degrees. I don't care if you went to a Bible college, a seminary, university. I don't care how much activity you've done for God and served the Lord. I don't care how much sacrifice you seemingly have made in the eyes of the world. Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we have a situation where in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God created man and woman in his image. He warned them, if you chose to sin, you'll surely die. Man did sin and the spirit of man died. Sin then is passed down from Adam to every person born since then. You say, preacher, what's the answer? I've got the answer right here. Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. You see, folks, Jesus came so that the new birth could be offered. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate that. You go ahead and be seated. Now, let's study in John chapter 3. Preacher, you asked the question at the beginning of the sermon, what does it mean to be born again? Well, if we're going to answer that now, let's go to John chapter 3 with the proper biblical background. Let's go to John chapter number 3 and let's get a Bible answer to a Bible question, okay? Then came Jesus. Boy, Nicodemus went to the right person to ask this question because Jesus has the answer. The new birth. Let me say several things about the new birth this morning. Number one, look at verse 5 through 7 of John chapter 3. First of all, let me say this. The new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. The new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse number 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, number one, of water, and number two, of the Spirit. The first birth of the water is talking about your physical birth. Some of you, most of you in here understand that when your mom carried you in her tummy, when she was carrying you, that you were engulfed in water. That is the water birth. It's talking about the physical birth. So that which is born of water, except a man be born of water, that's the physical birth. And then notice this, it says, and of the, capital S, Spirit. Now, anytime you see the word Spirit, when there's capitalized, it's talking about the Holy Spirit or God the Spirit. Except a man be born physically and spiritually, by the Holy Spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let me just tell you something I know that's true about everyone in this room. You've been born physically. If you hadn't have been, you wouldn't have been sitting here.
But just by looking at someone, you know that they've been born physically, but you do not know whether or not they've been born spiritually, you see. Because, listen, let me give you this. The new birth, number one, is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, that's true. But the new birth is something that is invisible yet discernible. Now notice what happens in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's talking about your physical birth. And that which is born of the capital S Spirit is what? Spirit. But is that second spirit capitalized? Remember up here when I had Chad sitting here? He has a spirit that died because of sin. When somebody understands the gospel, when they understand they're lost, when they come under Holy Spirit conviction about their lost condition, when they understand that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, was buried and rose again, and they humble their heart and come to God and cry out for forgiveness and for healing and for help and for salvation, the Holy Spirit of God comes, puts his hand upon that dead spirit, and he rebursts that spirit into life, and all of a sudden man once again is as God originally created him to be, a body and a soul and a spirit. Look right up here, please. This is too important for you to be looking at anything else. He's a body and a soul, and now for the first time in a long time, a reborn spirit. Are you getting this? Now look right up here. Pay attention to me, all right? Brother Eric, unless it's an emergency, let's not send people in here, okay? Let's not send people, unless it is an emergency, let's not send people in here, okay? Thank you very much. All right, now, the new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. It is something that is invisible, notice this, yet discernible. Now look in verse number 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How many of you ever seen the wind?
I tricked you, didn't I?
No, I haven't either. When people ask that question, have you seen the wind? We all say, well, sure, I've seen the wind. Well, wait a minute, I guess I haven't. You've seen what the wind does. We see the trees blow yesterday and we say, well, there's the wind. But we don't see the wind. We see the effects of the wind. No one's ever seen the wind. And you know what? I cannot see whether or not your spirit has been reborn, and you cannot see whether or not my spirit's being reborn, but you can see the effects of whether or not my spirit's been reborn. Please look up here and listen to me. I am sick and tired. I'm going to stay up here because I want this to go on the radio later on. I'm sick and tired of talking to people and asking them if they've ever been saved and have them sit there and go, oh yes, oh yeah, I've been saved. And you know what? There is absolutely no evidence in their life of a true Bible conversion, a true change in their life. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. Living in adultery, sitting there breaking the commandments of God, no desire to go to the house of God, and they want to sit there and say, oh yeah, yeah, I got saved, I'm saved, I'm fine, I'm saved, I'm fine. Let me tell you something. I can't see whether or not you're saved, but I can see the effects of whether or not you're saved. And you know what? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That doesn't mean that happens instantaneously. I know there's a growth process. I know sometimes when somebody newly gets saved, there's still a lot of things in their life that they've got to learn and deal with. And God is patient to allow us to grow. But I'm telling you, from the moment of conversion, there's some things that instantaneously change. And you know what? You can just see a difference in a person. And all of a sudden, their focus is different. And their desires are different, and their want-tos are different, and they've got a hunger for the things of God. Listen, I can't tell if you're saved, honestly. You can't look up here and tell if I'm saved, because the new birth is invisible, yes, but it is discernible, which means that you can see the effects of the new birth. So the new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. It's invisible, yet discernible. Let me give you this. The new birth became available because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. Look at verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Son of Man, talking about Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now the very famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that word, whosoever. Did you see it? Did you see it in verse number 15? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, what's the gospel? The gospel is this. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. When he died for our sins, he paid our sin debt. When he rose from the dead, he now has the power and the ability to offer us eternal life, being the first fruits of the resurrection. Let me say this. Jesus Christ can stand in heaven having conquered sin and paid for sin, having conquered death, and he can say, I can save you and I can offer you eternal life because of what I did on Calvary's cross. Now this is the best part, and it's for everybody. Whosoever. Whosoever. Man, I got excited this week. I just started looking up whosoever verses in the Bible. John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, remember when we preached last week on the woman at the well? Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. How about John 12:46? I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I love Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. He started out by quoting some Old Testament scripture, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and a vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's repeated in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. I love Revelation 20:15. By the way, this is another type of whosoever. You better listen to it. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you know what? Guess what? God is treating you like he created you. You are a human being that's been created with a free will, and you can either choose to be saved or you can choose to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning you will make that choice if you haven't been saved. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what? The Spirit of God saying, go, take it, it's for you. The Bride, which is the church, says, come, take it, it's for you. And the Bible opens it up so wide, he says, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So the new birth is available because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. The new birth occurs when somebody believes the gospel and receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want you to imagine those three men are back up here. Say, preacher, you know what? They tried reading their Bible so they could feel a little better, but it didn't rebirth the Spirit. They went to church and joined, it didn't rebirth the Spirit. They got sprinkle baptism or water baptism or fire hose baptism or any kind of baptism you want to try. And you know what? Their spirit didn't get reborn. But I want you to imagine for a minute that Nathan, under conviction of sin, having understood the gospel, bows his knee, begins to cry out for mercy and begins to cry out for salvation, begins to confess himself a sinner in need of a Savior. I'll tell you, the moment that happens, the Spirit once again is reborn. The Holy Spirit of God comes upon the spirit of man, reborns that spirit, makes him as he once was when God originally created him. And by the way, that's what opens up heaven's door. That's what makes it so that one day you can see the kingdom of God. That's what makes it so one day you can enter into the kingdom of God. Are you getting this? The new birth occurs when somebody believes the gospel and receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I want to end with this warning. In John chapter 3, we're still there. Look at verse 17. I want to end with this warning. There's one more thought about the new birth here. The new birth, if neglected, will condemn a person forever from the presence of God. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now God just makes this very cut and dry. Now let me remind you, this is Jesus sitting down in conversation talking to a religious leader in Jerusalem. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? They're in no halfway. There's no gray area. Well, do you think you'll go to heaven? Well, I hope so. Brother, you better have something better than hope so. You better have a no-so, and you can have a no-so salvation. Has there ever been a time where you have understood the gospel of Jesus Christ, where you've come under conviction of your sin, your need of Christ? Except a man be born again. Born again. The first time you were born, you know what? It was a big deal. Man alive, you know what? Records were taken, times were noted, weight, length. For every year after that, you have your birthday. You know why? Because you look back at an exact time, exact moment where you were born physically. And right now this morning, I want you to look back on the timeline of your life. Preacher, I know when I was born physically. But since that time to this present time, has there ever been a place and a time where you heard the gospel, came under conviction, said, God's Spirit's dealing with my lost soul. I understand Jesus died for my sins. And you know what? I never have received him as Savior. That's what Nicodemus was faced with. Well, what about my religion? He said, hey, your religion's not going to do you any good. What about my pedigree? Your pedigree's not going to do you any good. But my parents, well, good for your parents, but that's not going to do you any good. You must be born again. I remember going to church lost. Yeah, I attended church as a lost person for a while. I remember sitting there listening to the gospel. Man, I'd hear a sermon on hell and I'd get so scared. I'd hear a sermon on the rapture and I'd think, man, everybody's going to disappear before this sermon's over. I'm going to be sitting here by myself. And you know what? God took a while to deal with me and convict me of the sin in my life and help me to understand that Jesus, he wasn't sent to condemn the world. He was sent so that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came to provide salvation to every single person. Now let me say this. Just as I one day sat in church lost and heard a gospel message at the invitation, stepped out, walked forward, and got saved, that same God and that same Christ and that same salvation is available for you today. But let me warn you, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, I don't know if I just believe all this stuff, and I think I got my own way of looking at it, and I'll find my own way to heaven. You're not going to find another way to heaven outside the Bible way. You're not going to find another way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That no man means me and you. That's another whosoever. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Have you ever been born again? Have you ever been born again? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask, please, dear God, that you would use the message, Lord, in our hearts. Take these moments, take this time, Lord, please, even now. Speak to our hearts concerning our need of Jesus Christ. Someone here without Christ as their Savior, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help them, Lord, to understand they're in a place where people love them. They're in a place where people care about them and are praying for them. Every person that is saved here today can remember back to a time when they were not saved. And so, Lord, we join our hearts together. Even as though there were people praying for me when I was lost in church without Christ, I want the folks to know there's people that love them and are praying for them. No Christian wants to see another person go to a devil's hell. No Christian wants to see somebody reject Christ. So the prayers of God's people, Lord, I know is active. I pray, Lord, that you would please. May the Holy Spirit conviction come upon those that may be here without Christ. You know what? This is a good day in your life. If you're here today without Christ as your Savior, it's a good day. Because God allowed the circumstances to be such that you could come and hear how to be saved. And God loves you so much. And if you're here this morning, you say, Preacher, I've listened intently, I've listened carefully to what the message was today. And I do understand what you're saying, and I understand and believe what the Bible says, and I believe it to be true. And God's been dealing with my heart during the message. I'm feeling the conviction that you're talking about. There's something going on inside of me that only God can do. And I know that I need to be saved. I want to pray for you. By the way, I won't embarrass you. We don't do that here. No one's going to come to you. I won't call your name. But if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would love to be able to pray for you. And I won't call you by name, but I will pray for you as a pastor that loves the people and wants to see folks saved. I want to pray for you. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. Preacher, I don't know what eternity would hold. I fear what might happen. But I did listen. I do know that God's working on my heart. Preacher, I'm not saved, but God's dealing with me. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up so I could see that hand and pray for it? Preacher, I'm not saved, but would you pray for me, preacher? God is dealing with my heart. Would you pray for me, preacher? God's dealing with my heart. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody. I'm waiting just a second. I'm not saved, but would you pray for me, preacher? Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would help, dear God. Bring that Holy Spirit conviction where it needs to be brought. Lord, I pray, dear God, for those, Lord, that are here without Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. Bless the invitation, Lord. According to your will, we pray. In Jesus' name.